Silk, Dan thought. Beautifully knotted pale yellow tie, also silk. I'm very pleased to meet you, sir, said Dan. As they sat in the wobbly little cast-iron chairs, he added, It was good of you to take the time to see me. Hernandez nodded graciously, as if he were accustomed to flattery. It had taken a tortuous 3 weeks to get to this meeting. Jane had asked the State Department for someone whom Dan could talk to, as she promised. State provided the name of an attaché in Venezuela's embassy who specialized in economic development. Dan had worked his way through the Venezuelan bureaucracy and finally discovered Hernandez, an assistant minister in the government's Department of Transportation. He had flown to Caracas, only to spend 2 days cooling his heels until Hernandez finally agreed to see him. I apologize for the informality of this meeting, senor, Hernandez said in slow, accented English. Considering your desire for confidentiality, I thought it best that we meet outside the departmental offices. I agree entirely, Dan said. A waiter bowed to Hernandez, who ordered a whiskey and soda. Dan asked for a refill of his piña colada. Once the drinks arrived, Hernandez steepled his hands above his glass and asked, You wish to use our airport? Glad that he had at last gotten down to business, Dan hunched forward and said, I wish to establish a partnership with a man of vision, a man who can understand that there is vast wealth to be found in space. Space? You mean out among the stars and such? Dan kept a straight face, wondering if Hernandez were truly that naive, or if the man was simply leading him on. In orbit around the Earth, he replied. You've heard of the power satellite that my corporation has built? Naturally. Then you know that such satellites can generate enormous amounts of energy. Just one of them could supply all of Venezuela with more electrical power than your entire nation now consumes. Hernandez's brows arched upward. Truly? Only one satellite? Only one, said Dan, nodding. How can that be? So he doesn't know how it works, Dan realized. Okay. He's admitted his ignorance without damaging his dignity. Time for the dog and pony show. Dan went through his litany of how the satellite uses solar cells to convert sunlight into electricity, then beams the energy to a receiving station on the ground. Hernandez drank it all in as he sipped at his whiskey, never objecting or asking a question. He even took the idea of beaming microwaves to the ground without blinking. The key to operating such a power satellite economically is the ability to send maintenance and repair crews to it at a reasonable cost, Dan explained. Hernandez murmured, Rockets are very expensive. The space plane we're developing will bring down the costs by a factor of 100, Dan said flatly. It was almost true. This is the plane that crashed recently. We have another. We will flight test it soon. I would like to have permission to land the plane at a suitable airport in Venezuela. Why here? As an emergency precaution, Dan equivocated. We're negotiating other emergency sites in Spain, Australia, and South Africa. I see. You have a fine airport here in Caracas. It is also quite a busy airport. Many airline companies use it. Dan nodded. He understands the problem. If we needed to land the space plane at your airport, you would have to stop all other traffic. For how long? Half an hour, maybe. Maybe a little more. Hernandez sipped the last of his whiskey, then said, That is not impossible. Despite himself, Dan couldn't keep himself from blurting eagerly, You could do it? It would be an expensive operation, Hernandez said. There would be many people involved, ground controllers, airline managers, many others. Bribes, Dan realized. He's talking about bribes. Aloud, he asked, Could I leave all that in your hands? I'd prefer to deal only with you and leave the rest of the operation to your discretion. Hernandez allowed a tiny smile to twitch his lips briefly. Yes, I suppose that would be the best way to handle it. I could give you a retainer to start with, and then you can tell me how much the operation would cost. I have a bank account in your national capital. You could transfer the funds there. No international transfers, Dan said to himself. He's no dummy. That will be very convenient, he said. Hernandez broke into an unrestrained smile and signaled the waiter for a refill of their drinks. If and when we need to use your airport, Dan said, I'll have to send a small team of technicians here.
That is no problem. I can clear that with the Foreign Office easily.
The waiter brought their drinks, then departed. Dan clinked his glass against Hernandez's and said, To a successful partnership. Hernandez sipped, then said,
By the way, your technicians will need hotel accommodations here in the city. My brother-in-law manages the finest hotel in Caracas.
Dan grinned at him. We're going to get along just fine, he thought. Just as long as he doesn't get too greedy. Astro Motel. The glass double doors that separated the Astro Motel's pocket-sized lobby from the bar were almost always kept open, so from her vantage point behind the registration desk, Kelly Emmons could see who was coming and going easily enough. Especially who's going, she giggled to herself. The restrooms were on the far side of the lobby. April Simmons had pulled a few strings and gotten the motel's manager to hire Emmons as their registration clerk for the night shift, 4 to midnight. The manager, an overweight son of the family that nominally ran the motel, took one look at Emmons and saw a cute redhead with a glad smile that filled his mind with visions of sugar plums. He himself had been manning the registration desk for the midnight to 8 a.m. stint, so he moved his night clerk to the graveyard shift and retired to the manager's office to spend his evenings watching television and trying to get Emmons to have dinner with him. The former night clerk quit, though, and the poor man had to go back to his former duties until he could hire a replacement. He didn't mind it too much. Most of the time there was nothing to do but watch the TV in the lobby, and he got to see Emmons every night when her shift was finished and his just beginning. Many nights, alone behind the desk except for the late-night movies and news broadcasts, he thought about making it with Kelly right there on the big leather couch in front of the TV. Neither he nor anyone on Matagorda Island except April and Dan knew that this attractive, sunshiny redhead was an agent of the FBI. Emmons smiled and jollied him along while she kept tabs on the patrons of the bar. Almost all of them were Astro employees. April knew most of them and gave Emmons access to the company's personnel files. April was doing more than that, though. With Emmons watching from the registration desk, April became a regular at the bar. She would come in at the end of the working day for the happy hour, two-for-one drinks, and stay until the crowd thinned out for dinner. Often she returned later at night, chatting with the Astro technicians and engineers she knew, allowing some of the men she didn't know to buy her a drink or simply sit beside her at the bar and talk. April always went home alone, as far as Emmons could see. She's smart enough to handle these geek boys, Kelly told herself. Besides, she's in love with Randolph. She's not interested in any of these guys. Emmons had assured April that she could protect her. I'm just a phone call away, she said, brandishing her cell phone like a miniature club. Emmons was living with April in the tidy one-bedroom apartment April rented in Lamar. She slept on the pull-out sofa in the living room and shared the tiny bathroom. They always drove to Matagorda separately, of course. April first thing in the morning, Emmons late in the afternoon. They didn't want anyone to know they were working together. Mornings, over breakfast, they would compare notes, exchange information. The trouble was, Emmons soon realized, that there was precious little information to exchange. April was getting earfuls about who was unhappy with his wife, who was looking for a new job, who was chasing whom. Nothing substantial, though. Nothing that would help with the investigation. Emmons carefully refrained from telling April that Nacho Chavez, back in Houston, was warning her that the Bureau's higher-ups were talking about terminating the investigation for lack of results. She found that she enjoyed being out of the office, in the field, even if the work was boring and unproductive. She enjoyed living with April, and found herself wondering what it would be like to sleep in the same bed with her. Dan Randolph had returned from Venezuela full of mysterious smiles, and the engineers were checking out the rocket plane in preparation for its mating to a booster rocket. Most mornings, Emmons made breakfast for the two of them, while April dressed for the office.